Good morning, church. This morning, we are going to be moving along in our series, The Proof That One Really Knows God. And this will be week number three in that. The first test that we learned, if you really know God, is if you must obey his commands. And week number two, we looked at the command, and that is loving one another. And so this week, test the proof that really God, that one really knows God, is remembering your spiritual growth. And so this morning's lesson continues in 1 John. So if you would open your Bibles to 1 John 2, we'll start at verses 12 and read through verse 14. 1 John 2, verse John 2, 12 through 14. And God's word reads, "I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Father God, I ask, I don't even have to ask. I know that you're here. And so, Father, I pray that I would be an instrument worthy of sharing your word this morning. I pray that I would move aside and let your word speak. In your name I pray. Amen. So there are three people who are addressed in this passage. John speaks of dear children, fathers, and young men. You also notice that each one is addressed twice. I have written to you. So there's two questions. There's a couple of questions that immediately come to mind. Like, who is he talking to? Is he talking specifically to the men? Is he speaking to the various age groups of adults that are there? There's a spectrum, just like there is here, of younger folks to mature folks here, just like we're meeting in the synagogue there. But the point is that John's classification, being in the stages, he's speaking of spiritual growth. Second, why does John specifically address these specific groups? John is driving home the point that believers, each and every one of us must grow in Christ. We must conform to the growth in Christ, conform a relationship with God, not just today, not just yesterday, but tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. John stresses this point by saying, "I am writing this part of the letter and what is to follow so that you will grow in Christ." Remember the overlapping theme here. We're discussing, how do we know if we really know God? There are seven tests. So we've already talked about the first two, and today is the third. This passage covers that third test, a test that shows us beyond any question or not whether we know God, is in our remembering or the testing of our spiritual growth. Do you remember your spiritual growth? Do you remember how you have grown in Christ? Do you remember how God has grown and matured and developed you? If you really know Christ, then you have grown in Christ. You have developed and matured stage by stage. This conversation means to, once we have given our life to Christ, we've converted, we've changed over to a new person, to be born again, to exchange the old life without Christ for a new Christ with Christ. If a person is to truly be born again in Christ, they will begin to live and walk in Christ. If we are truly converted over to Christ, then as a believer, as a follower of Christ, you focus upon Christ and grow in Christ. One grows spiritually, one grows in the knowledge of God and His Son and the Lord Jesus Christ. A person who truly knows God remembers his spiritual growth. And so we'll be looking at that in verses 12 and 13, remembering your spiritual growth. And then the second part of that, verse 14, confirm who you are, that great relationship with God over and over again. So verses 12 and 13, it says, I am writing you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. 1 John 2 chapter verses 12 and 13. The first we remember the spiritual growth in Christ and God's family in the various stages. What John is writing applies to every stage of every believer in their growth. No matter who you are, how weak or strong you are, this message applies to each and every one of you. This message applies to the church. There are, dear children, people who have just received Jesus Christ and begun to follow him. If you're a newborn Christian, remember this. You have been forgiven of your sins. If you're a newborn Christian, remember that you have been forgiven of your sins. And I know that when I say that, it may sound elementary or basic, but sometimes we forget the basic things. And the basic things, they matter. Remember that you trusted in Jesus Christ as the great bearer of your sins. You believe that Jesus Christ took your sins upon himself, and you no longer have to worry about that punishment, that punishment and condemnation that you were to receive. He's forgiven you. You are cleansed of your sins and you're forgiven. God forgives your sins because of Christ. He cleanses us for the sake of Christ. God loves us perfectly. Yes, God loves his own Son with a very special love. In addition, Christ has obeyed and fulfilled the will of God perfectly. In obedience to God's will, he left his throne of glory and came down to this very corrupt world to die for our sins. Listen, no one person can ever take the place of Christ in the heart of God. For this reason, God has destined that Jesus Christ have many adopted brothers and sisters. God has ordained that believers will forever be with Christ, being adopted. I saw this thing on social media. And I don't know if for those of you who do that, I probably do it too much. But I was watching this video, and someone was filming this family, and it was this couple and this child. I don't know whether it makes it unique or not, but I think it does. The parents were Caucasian, okay, and the child was African American, all right? and the mom and dad's on either side of. And they said, here, we have this gift for you, and it's in a box. And so the girl, the little girl, she's maybe 8 years old. She opens the lid of the box, and they said, there's a paper in there. Will you read it? And she opens it up, and all of a sudden, she's just starts, tears are just streaming down her face as she says, you're adopting me? You're adopting me? And then tears start flowing from the parents' face too, and there's lots of hugs. And when I saw that, I'm like, man, that should be the same feeling, or is the same feeling that each and every one of us have when, as a newborn Christian, we've been adopted by Jesus Christ. And you're like, it's like saying, okay, you love me in spite of all my wrongdoings? You love me the way I am? And our Heavenly Father says, of course I do. Come here. I'm adopting you. And whether you're a newborn Christian, a new believer or not, I think we need to remember that each of us have been adopted by our Heavenly Father just the way we were. Because I venture to say that each of us are not in the same place that we were before. There are fathers, spiritual fathers, believers who are spiritually mature with deep and rich knowledge of God. What this text is saying to those who have such deep and rich knowledge of God, what is it saying? These few have walked so faithfully for so many years. The text is saying this. Remember, you have known God from the very beginning of your conversion, from the time you accepted Christ, and you have faithfully and diligently served him day by day. You have learned to walk in fellowship with God, striving for an unbroken communion with him, an unbroken fellowship with him. So these are the things that we learned, that things that we have to, that those who have been with him, we feed upon God's word, and we set aside time for prayer and learn to walk with him in all day long. Secondly, we've learned to fellowship and commune with God all day long, striving for an unbroken communion. We've set aside time. We've set aside time each day for prayer. I'm talking to a young guy, and I said, how are you doing? How's life treating you? I'm doing well. I said, okay. So I'm texting him. I'm like, I said, So have you been in the Bible today? Or have you been in the Bible lately? Because I'm mentoring him. And I'm like, so have you been in God's Word? Hey, JR, I just been too busy, man. I haven't had time. And so my reply to him was, God's given you 24 hours a day. Can you give him 5 minutes? And his response is, I'll try. And so I say to each and every one of us, how much time have you committed into spending time with him each day? My goodness. He gives us 24 hours. Can you not just give him 5? And I'm not trying to guilt anybody, because There was that time when Jesus went off with those few disciples, and he said, hey, stay here, pray. And he came back and he found them asleep. He says, can you not but tarry an hour? Can't you just hang with me for an hour? I say to you, church of today, can you not hang for 5 minutes in a day? Whether it's the beginning of your day? I suggest the beginning of your day, not the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, it's just that. Yeah, then you got it. You know I'm telling the truth. You're just not there. So just as we give Father God the first fruits, as we give him the first fruits of our paycheck, of what our earnings, we give him the first fruits. I hope we're giving him first fruits. Why not give him the first fruits of our day? The very beginning. Say, hey, all right, I'm opening your word. And or, hey, I'm just going to spend time with you. The point is, the spiritually mature people have a deep, rich knowledge of God. And man, that must never forget where you've come from. Never forget how you grew in Christ. You must remember how you've gained such a deep, rich knowledge of God. Remembering and staying focused upon the Father is the only way one can finish the Christian race faithfully and receive his reward. The spiritual mature, those with a deep and rich knowledge of God, must remember and must continue to grow. You need to grow with him and keep your eyes focused on him. If you don't keep your eyes focused on him, then you're focusing on something else and you'll tend to go that way. One of the number one rules in skydiving when you're doing the free falling part is like where your eyes goes, your body goes. So it's not even so much what you do with your body and your hands, but if you look that way, your body will start to go that way. Now you can push turns and make your body turn a little bit more aggressively. But the number one rule is where you look, that's where you go. So if you're always looking to him, you know that you're headed in the right direction. John 8:31-32 says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hang on to his truth. There are young men, mature believers in church. They must remember how far they've come. They have come a long way. They have fought a long battle. They have now overcome the wicked one. The wicked one used to attack them right and left at every turn. He attacked them with every temptation imaginable. Especially for those, you know, before your conversion, how he always attacked you by allowing you to think those evil thoughts, letting pride get in the way, arrogance, covetousness, hoarding, lying, cheating, anger. You know the list. The point is, believers who have walked faithfully with Christ over a long period of time have overcome the temptations of the wicked one. The temptations do not strike you, nor with the force that they used to. It was difficult. It's a difficult struggle, a fierce battle. It is never easy to give up all one has when you're a part of that mission of serving Christ. I think the biggest one is giving up self. That's the big one, giving up self. And Satan is doing everything that he possibly can to interrupt that intimate relationship with you and the Father. I mean, when you first become a Christian, I think he's like on you like like a pit bull on a steak, okay? I got to be, woo, okay. The Satan is like on you, right? When you first, he's like, oh, you're a new Christian, right? And so, and because maybe you have not had a chance to get rid of those sinful tendencies that you had before you came to know Christ. It's not like it's a switch, right? Like, okay, you're a Christian now. You just flip the switch and everything you used to do, you don't do anymore. That is rarely the case. I'm not saying that it can't, but it's rarely the case. And when you're a new Christian, Satan is on you. I don't know if you've ever heard, there's a comedian, Steve Harvey. He does a couple game shows or used to, and he bundled the Miss America pageant and all sorts of other things. But anyway, he did a DVD, and it's entitled "Don't Trip, God's Not Done with Me Yet." It's pretty funny, but the message there: don't trip, because God isn't finished with me yet. And I would say to each and every one of you, there are going to be times. I mean, you're fighting, and you're leaning toward Him, and your eyes are focused on Him, but and every once in a while you're looking this way, but it's that time when you look away that Satan says, ha, 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 got you. And he might have got you, but he doesn't own you. He doesn't own you. So how do believers overcome Satan? They overcome by drawing near to God, by praying and asking for wisdom. And so there's going to be like five verses or six verses I'm going to throw at you, okay? So that refer to this, all right? James 1:5. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. And they overcome, we overcome by using God's word, quoting it over and over in your minds to conquer the temptation. Luke 4:8 says, Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The mature Christian, we overcome by learning and knowing that God allows temptation to teach endurance. James 1:2-3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. We overcome by offering our bodies to sin. Romans 6:13 says, do not offer your parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. Romans 6:13. We overcome by clothing oneself with the armor of God. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, put on the armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. We overcome by being on guard and watching for temptations, the tempters. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We overcome by not giving into anger. Ephesians 4:26-27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. We overcome by submitting to God and resisting the devil. Submit yourselves, James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Overcome by not giving in to enticement of sinners. Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give into them. I think these are scriptures that I talked about before that you can write on your wall. You can write on your wall. And just put a big banner, just say, I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. And these are the scriptures that keep me in check. So let's look at that second chapter, verse 14 of 1 John. It says, I write to you, dear brothers, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you. And you have overcome the evil one. The thing we must remember is that we must have a great relationship with God over and over again. This text is to each of us and stresses upon us the relationship that we have in God. And when I say that in God and God in his word, how is your relationship with him that way? Because it's vital to the relationship. This is how you listen to him. When you read his word. Believers, listen, believers, no matter their stage of spiritual growth, must never forget who it is they know, God the Father. They have the greatest privileges. We have the greatest privilege in the world of knowing that he is our Father. The one who placed the stars into place, the one who created the mountains that we see here in our front yard, the Father that's not far away, the Father that's right here, sitting next to you, is with you. We have a relationship with him. And more importantly, he wants to have that relationship with you. The Father who did all of that says that all of what I created means nothing. I mean, in comparison to having a relationship with you means nothing. I could create a whole bunch of this. I can make another ocean. I can make another river. I can make more mountains. I can make another earth pop. But what really means the most to me is getting close to you. And you wanting to get close to me. That is the desire of our Father. It says, dear children, young believers must remember that they have the Father. They have just been adopted into the family of God. God himself, the Supreme Force of the universe, wants you. Fathers have a deep relationship, have a deep knowledge of God, but must remember that they have known God from the beginning. They must remember everything that has been and said to them. In addition, they must never be lifted up with pride, no matter how long their relationship is with God. You know, there are some people, not anybody in here, mind you, but they're like, okay, so I've been walking with God 15 years. And I'm in his Bible, and, you know, I'm up here. they elevate themselves. They're like, oh, I'm not like the rest of you. Because I've been walking with him for a long time. And I can spell Leviticus backwards. Those who know the Father realize that. They know that no matter how much knowledge they have of him, there's an eternity's worth of more knowledge and love to be gained by being in a relationship with Him and Him with you. Young men, the mature believers must believe three things. You must believe that you must remain strong in Him. And be assured and have confidence in the strength they have gained. Mature believers must remember where their strength comes from and how they became spiritually strong through Jesus Christ. It's not like you attained where you are on your own. And we must remember that flesh, we must never trust the power of flesh, because it, more often than not, has a sinful nature to it. I say every once in a while, because I'm not perfect, I said, man, I got pretty fleshy on that. I let the flesh speak out. There's a danger when we do that. Both mind and body will eventually weaken and fail in spiritual welfare if you remain on the fleshiness, just on your mind and spirit. Colossians 1:11 says, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Mature believers must remember that the Word of God abides and lives in them. No matter what a person may think or say, there is no spiritual growth apart from God's Word. You can't skip this. You cannot skip this. You cannot skip God's Word and think that you're going to grow closer to Him. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Colossians 3:16. We're not supposed to be doing this walk alone. There's no way that either one of you or I can walk alone. Because when we walk alone, there's a tendency, there'll be times when you'll be discouraged. There'll be times when you'll be discouraged. And there's nothing like having someone come alongside you to give you a hug, to speak words of encouragement. This morning, Wayne McDonald, he texted me this morning and says, brother, now granted, he's in Low 48. He says, I just got out of worship. And Wayne says, I just wanted to pray for you and encourage you that you would speak the truth. I'm like, oh, wow. There's something about walking with Him and having that relationship. Nora and I, my bride and I, we were listening to a radio this morning. A woman by the name of Ann Graham. She comes on, I can't remember the station, but she spoke this morning. Her and her friend, and her name is Beatrice, I think. They go on a walk every day. They go on a walk every day for 2 miles with this agreement that they will walk the same pace and they will walk in the same direction. That's what we need to do too when we walk with our Heavenly Father, our walk. We need to keep pace with Him. Don't try to outrun Him. Don't drag your feet. He's going 360. Don't you go 180. Don't even go 5 degrees off from the direction that He has laid out for you. Will you please stand?